Hey, welcome to Razzle Dazzle, a podcast about video games and pop culture, with emphasis on the video games.
All right, it's Razzle Dazzle time. I'm your host, Jared.
And I'm Avalon.
And that's our sound guy, Joe.
Hello, hello. How are we doing today, guys?
If I was doing any better, I'd have to hire somebody to help me enjoy it.
Who are you gonna call?
Ghostbusters! Thank you so much for, like, just getting us started on that. It's like,
no worries.
There's no better way to do it.
Thanks.
Audience, we are talking about the Ghostbusters today. Isn't that great? We're mainly talking about it because of how much of a classic this franchise is. You know, it's like one of those 80s summer movies that it's just a blockbuster. Pun intended, you know? Everybody loves it who've seen it, I think. And it's just an automatic classic. It's iconic, you know?
Everybody should see it at least once in your lifetime.
What are your connections to the Ghostbusters?
Ooh, wow. Okay. Joe, why don't you start?
Well, I first watched Ghostbusters when my dad introduced it to me, like, in that classic 80s action movies alongside Empire Strikes Back and Die Hard and whatnot.
Oh, man. Okay.
But Ghostbusters was just really, really funny. And even now, I think the humor still stands.
Uh-huh. So it's like...
And it's always had a great, you know, place in my mind. Like, and it's such a pure memory, I don't want to see it ruined. You know?
I totally understand. You know, it's, I have a similar story where, I was like, 9, maybe 10, right? And my stepfather was at a point where, like, okay, I need to have a talk with you, son. And I'm like, okay, what's up? Have you seen this movie, this movie, this movie, this movie, including Ghostbusters? And I'm like, nope, never heard of them. And he says to himself, I have failed you as a father. So, to make up for all that, we had a whole marathon of watching the original 2. And, you know, just throughout the same day, and I immediately fell in love with this whole universe, you know? One thing I love about the concept, I guess, of this Ghostbuster is it's not supposed to be a scary movie. When you think of a ghost, you know, you think maybe Poltergeist or The Exorcist or whatever, right? But this took, like, a funnier, more lighthearted tone. Thanks to the brilliant writing of Dan Aykroyd and the late Harold Ramis, you know, we got this whole mixture of charming, funny, sarcastic, new type of thing, you know, that hasn't really been done before. And that's just something that's always sticks with me. What about you, Avalon?
I think for me, I've always had a connection to the supernatural. Like, I love that type of stuff. I love horror movies and especially 80s blockbusters. So for me, like, by default, of course I would love Ghostbusters. I mean, it's just up there with, like, the Goonies and the Back to the Future trilogy and so many other lovable movies that have aged so well and is such a pivotal part of pop culture.
It was very important to the genre because I feel like if there wasn't a Ghostbusters, all of the action movies would take themselves way too seriously.
Oh.
Oh, certainly.
Oh, man. Okay. I'm so glad you brought that up. I didn't think I was going to bring this up 5 minutes into the episode, but I'm going to relate that of what you just said to the 2016 Ghostbusters movie, you know, with the original. Like, I just want to get this out of the way. The 2016 movie takes itself way too seriously while also trying to be weird about it, you know? Compared to the original, there's, like, a seamless transition to, like, oh, this is happening. We are seeing Ghost, you know? Oh, Egon already made the proton packs and stuff. Oh, okay, cool. In the 2016 one, no, everything needed a reason. Everything felt forced.
I think with that, though, is that back then in the 80s, that was a formulaic time in cinema. I mean, not formulaic, experimental. It was an experimental time of cinema. And then by the time that we get into the 2000s, we've already developed a formula. So then it becomes a cliche. And that's really what the 2016 movie was one big dumpster fire of cliches.
Dumpster fire. That's yeah, that's a good way to put it. I do appreciate for the original two. I still think the second movie is good regardless of being like a sequel, and sequels are known for not being great as the first, which is true. Mm-hmm. But one thing I do appreciate is, you know, these are not teenagers who are angsty and are full of emotions, and you know, it's not that type of cliche like with a lot of media, like for superheroes, you know, it's always a teenager who gets the powers and are dealing with the struggles. No, these are four middle-aged men, three of them scientists and one of them who just got there to get a job, you know, like they're just doing this and are treating it as a job, like nothing more, almost nothing less. Does that make sense? Like it brings it down to a humanitarian level, I guess.
It was the 80s tone of the working man, the like the government and the EPA and all those organizations. They're gonna get out. They're out to get the working man.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
The whole rhetoric of the 80s.
Yeah.
And that kind of movie doesn't. I don't think making it now would make that much sense.
Oh, how so?
Well, the 2016 movie was not a Ghostbusters movie. It was more. It would have been an all right superhero movie,
mm-hmm.
but not a good Ghostbusters movie.
Okay.
And it's just not funny. I'm just gonna be honest. The 2016 Ghostbusters is not funny.
I think that it had its funny moments, but I think that a lot of it was forced humor because, as I said before, like it is very formulaic. So it becomes predictable after a while. Like they have like, you know, the dumb intern cliche, and it, I know that it's kind of trying to turn gender stereotypes on its head by giving an all-female cast. But I think that in a way, it was also kind of still throwing in gender stereotypes, even though they were trying to demote them, if that makes any sense.
Okay, yeah. I totally don't care that the Ghostbusters are female or male. Like, hey, that's cool. Women can do it too. Yeah, sure. Whatever, you know? That's great. I'm not against it at all. It's great, you know? But if you don't... How do I say this? If you don't make a good movie, then all that doesn't really matter, you know? Again... The plot of that movie felt forced. Everything was forced. Like there was the Easter eggs, the cameos, and all that stuff were super fun, super cool. You know, there was like Dan Aykroyd was there. He said like, "I ain't afraid of no ghosts." There was a Harold Ramis bust early on in the movies, which was so good. But okay, my big problem. I'm like going all over the place. I'm sorry, but the story for 2016 is like. This dude got bullied when he was a kid, so he is gonna unleash ghosts and destroy the world and recreate it in his own image or something. Okay, haven't heard that before, but in the original too, like the source material, they took actual lore of, you know, Tobin's spirit guide, like actual paranormal stuff that has been talked about in the real world, and they brought that to light, and they like actually expanded upon it, you know, and you know, there's like some real things going on, you know, there's some weight.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Speaking of modern movies, though, there is a new Ghostbusters coming out. Thoughts?
What's it called?
Ghostbusters: Afterlife.
Okay.
Which I'm excited for.
Do we know what's it about? Like, what's the deal with it?
It has Stranger Things vibes. Is that the show? It's kind of like it has Stranger Thing vibes with kind of like The Force Awakens, in that it's dealing with the aftermath 30 years later, or 40 years, yeah, 40 years later, more like. And I think it's going to be pretty good. I don't think it'll be as comedic as the original, which is a good way to go, but I feel like I'm going to enjoy it.
It does have the trope where the kids are kind of the heroes. And also I could see what you mean about the Stranger Things vibes, because it does have Finn Wolfhard in it, which he's kind of getting typecasted by now in the same movies. It's unfortunate.
Okay. Aftermath of the first movie or the second?
First.
I think all three of them take place in the same universe, don't they?
No. 2016 is like... Okay, they hint at like ghost paranormal stuff happening before, but this is technically an alternate like reality, because, you know, Dan Aykroyd, Bill Murray, Eddie Hudson, I think that's what his name is, Zeddemore. They're there, but they are not the same characters. They are not Peter Venkman. They're not Ray. They're not Zeddemore, you know? So like, that's an alternate universe. From my understanding, Afterlife is a continuation from the first, second movie, you know?
Yes. Yes, they are.
I do want to mention, speaking of continuation, I do want to mention the video game for the 360 PlayStation 3 made by Atari. Oh my gosh, guys. This game...
It's good, isn't it?
It is... Oh, I don't say this about a lot of games. Like, it's perfect, but not perfect. Like, its imperfections makes it perfect. Like, it's a first or third person over the shoulder shooter. You, like, literally bust ghosts. It's the best way to capture how busting ghosts feels. Like, you know how when Spider-Man for the PlayStation 4 came out, they're like, this captures the essence of being Spider-Man or whatever. You remember that? This, the Ghostbusters game by Atari captures that exact same essence for being a Ghostbuster, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a fun time all around. But regardless, in story-wise, this takes place 2-3 years after the second movie, you know? And it actually ties in to, like, the lore of the previous two. Like, for example, for those of you who know, in the first movie, the building where they fought the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, where they fought Gozer, that building was built by Ivo Shandor, the architect. They mention him in that same movie, but we don't really see him at all. It's only focused on Gozer, right? In the video game, the main boss, spoilers, the main boss is Ivo Shandor. It's just tied together. We see elements from previous movies coming back, being like replayed with, you know. And basically the game is like, it could be a movie in its own, you know. Like, it's that good to stand alone as Ghostbusters 3, in my opinion. It's basically Ghostbusters going to hell, because that's exactly where they go.
Speaking of games, I do have a game for you guys.
Hit me.
All right, so I call it Quote Busters.
That that is so cute. I am down.
Oh, thank you. All right, so I'm going to be giving you guys some quotes from some of the Ghostbusters movies, and you need to guess which Ghostbuster said it.
Bet.
Will it be of the main four?
Yes.
Okay.
So it won't be, like, the female Ghostbusters, but it will be, like, the mains that we're used to.
Okay.
Good, because I don't know the female Ghostbusters' name.
Okay, I got you guys. So, here's number one. Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
That's Peter Venkman. Bill Murray.
Ding, 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 ding.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
If you want to be specific, that's when Ray, Peter, and Egon first investigate the library in New York to find the Gray Lady, the librarian. And they were interviewing the librarian that was alive, who saw the ghost. You know? Yeah. Sorry.
And Venkman was asking some touchy questions.
Yeah.
So, do you happen to be menstruating? Dude, are you even a scientist? Huh?
Egon?
Oh, no. That wasn't a quote. I was just talking about that scene.
Okay.
Okay.
What's the next?
Here's the next one. Print is dead.
Ray.
Is that Aykroyd?
Nope. It is Egon Spengler. And it's actually in the scene where the new intern is hitting on him. And she's talking about how she really loves reading books and is trying to relate to him. And he's just like, print is dead.
Oh, yeah. I remember. Yeah. In the first movie. I understand. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, quote number three. That's a big Twinkie.
That's Zeddemore.
Mm-hmm.
Winston.
Yep. He slimed me. I feel so funky.
Venkman.
Mm-hmm. Don't cross the streams. It would be bad.
Egon, yeah.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Venkman.
That's Peter. Bill Murray.
And finally, your girlfriend lives in a corner penthouse of Spook Central.
Ray.
Bingo.
This was an awesome game.
Yeah.
Thank you.
This like really tests my knowledge.
Because we actually knew it.
Yeah. It was great because we knew the answers.
Well, thanks, guys. I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah. Speaking of Spook Central, can I just say the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man is like one of the most anticlimactic final bosses ever. Like, Gozer the Destroyer takes form of, you know, a destructor form to destroy the entire world. But the only thing is, somebody else has to choose it for him. So therefore, Ray was like, bingo, Stay Puft. So a giant Michelin man looking Pillsbury boy comes rolling up down the street. Just looking like his big chunky self. He looks like one of my cats. Just wrecking the place. Like, come on, dude.
I think that's what made it so lovable, though, is that in a way it was like juxtaposition. Like, they chose the most innocent looking thing to be scary. And that's what made it so classic.
Yeah. And if we, I noticed this while rewatching it yesterday. There are scenes where they slightly hint to Stay Puft advertisement. It's not in your face. There's like one scenes where there are signs of the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, like ads in the background. It's just subtle hints to like what's to come. And that's like great. I think that's great storytelling, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I just find that amazing. And in the second Ghostbusters, I love the whole positive vibes trumps over negative vibes, you know. That's like what the whole second movie is about. Like, hey, just love each other, be cool, chill out, you know. That's like basically the message. And instead of using Stay Puft, they used the Statue of Liberty, you know. And the score, I'm continuing to geek out, I'm sorry, but the no score worries. For the original movies is also used in the video game, and it's just so good. I'm sorry.
I kind of wish that the second one, they toned down the second one because they realized Ghostbusters was targeted for kids as well.
Yeah.
And the first movie isn't. There's a lot of adult humor in the 1984 Ghostbusters, and I feel like they toned it down for Ghostbusters 2 because they realized kids were going to get into it.
I think that also, I'm sorry to interrupt, but going off of that, a lot of 80s movies were like that. Like, even if you go back and watch E.T., for example, there was some adult humor in there. Like, some of the kids were saying things that would never be caught dead in kids' movies nowadays. Like, dropping profanity and stuff.
Watch your profanity. No, I totally understand. I totally agree. I mean, in one of the final scenes, like, Sigourney Weaver and Tully, like, got possessed by Gozer's minions. Mm-hmm. One is the gatekeeper, one is the Keymaster, and the only way for them to like release Gozer is basically them having sex. Like, they don't show it, but it's implied.
They also made a lot of succubus references.
Okay. But regardless, Ghostbusters as a whole, you know, even the 2016 movie, there's like a certain charm to it that's irreplaceable, that cannot be found anywhere else, you know? It's just the sarcasm, the snarkiness, the whole feel. Like, even the ghosts, like, they're still wacky. Slimer is a good example. Just like a fat blob eating, like, he's a glutton, you know?
Who are your favorite Ghostbusters?
Oh my god. Joe, you can take this one.
Who is my favorite Ghostbuster?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you gotta say Bill Murray, because even he's like, even once the marshmallow guy is coming after them all, he's still cracking jokes. Nobody steps on a church in my town.
That is so true. He's like low-key badass. Like, he's like that guy who doesn't care, but it's still willing to like continue on, but just still doesn't care.
Yeah, and same with Winston, because a job's a job to him.
That is true.
Static characters in the Ghostbusters, they don't really change at all.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't, that's very unique in movies, because there's usually like a big, great big journey. But nope. They all stay the same, pretty much. And I love that.
In a way, it does seem that a lot of the focus is placed on Bill Murray's character, and I think that's what makes him so memorable, because you get to see more of his personality and more scenes with him than the other Ghostbusters. I personally have not seen the second movie, but in the first movie, at least, it seems like he's kind of like the leader of the pack.
Yeah, you could kind of say that.
Well, the reason that is, Avalon, is that even when they were all on SNL, Bill Murray was kind of the, not necessarily like the funniest, but the best lead. The front talent, if you will.
That's true.
I see that. Yeah, definitely.
Bill Murray is totally like, he is his character. Like, him as a person is him as the character he is playing in a role. Like how Robert Downey Jr. is Tony Stark. Like, they are one and the same. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But regardless, I think it's safe to say that the Ghostbusters are here to stay for a while, you know?
I mean, they have also made multiple cartoons after the show. Like, they had a cartoon in 1986 to 1991 called The Real Ghostbusters, and it kind of focuses on the aftermath of the original characters and their adventures in ghostbusting.
Yeah, it's a cute little cartoon show. I remember watching some episodes. It was cute.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun. But yeah, that's all the time we have for today, guys. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Razzle Dazzle. Please follow us on Instagram at Razzle Dazzle Show. Give us a rating on Apple Podcasts. Let us know what you thought about today's episode somewhere on the internet. And we'll catch you on the next one.
Bye, guys.
You gotta go.
Ghostbusters!